On God, I know we live in a day and age where we want things to happen real fast. I know I do. And sometimes God calls on us to wait on Him and to wait for Him to move, and that can be a challenge for us. If you got a Bible with you today, turn with us over to the book of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter number 15. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 29. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 29. It says, "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to behold, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." Let's pray together today. Father, we bow before you this morning. And God, we just want to say that we love you. And God, we thank you for first loving us. And God, as we look into the scriptures today and we see all the things that you do for folks, God, I know that there are those of us here that need a touch from you. And God, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see today our needs. And God, that you are the one that can meet those needs. God, I thank you for the activity that you have going on in my life and also the lives and those around me. God, for the things that you're doing, the battles that you're fighting for us and the wars you're winning. God, I pray you just help us today. I pray that you'd be pleased with our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the first thing that we need to see as we look at this passage today is just the busyness of Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. You know, as we look at this passage, all this is coming on the heels of a lot of other things happening. Jesus had fed 5,000 folks, men, not counting women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And after that, he had got into a ship and sent his disciples away on a ship, and he walked out on the water to them in the midst of the sea. And we remember that Peter got out of the boat and sank, and they got back in the boat and went on to the other side. And when they got to the other side, he had to deal with the Pharisees wondering why his disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. So he dealt with that. And then last week we saw how this Gentile woman come to him, and he told her he wasn't there to deal with her at that time, and called her a dog. And she said, well, even the dogs want the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And so Jesus was very busy and he was very active. And I want you to know today that Jesus is still very busy and he is still very active in the world today. Some people would like you to believe today that Jesus is not at work anymore in our world. The devil wants us to believe a lie that God is not actively working in the lives of people. But I want you to know that that could not be any further from the truth. God is actively busy and at work in our lives. I want to tell you something. He's actively at work in my life. He's so active in my life that he's doing thousands of things that I don't even know he's doing. Amen. I mean, I don't even have any idea about it. I don't know all that he's doing. I don't understand all that he's doing, but I do want you to know that he is working. He hasn't taken a day off. He's not asleep. He is busy. And he's also busy in the lives of others. I want you to know today that he is busy in your life. You might say, Brother Derek, he's not working in my life. Oh, he's working in your life. Whether you're aware of it or not, whether you see it all or not, that doesn't matter. What I do know is he is at work at your life, and he's doing countless things. He's trying to grow you and mold you and draw you and convict you, and he's trying to make you what he wants you to be. You know, we read this morning in Sunday school over there in Ephesians chapter 4, how that the church is here and God is working to perfect the saints. And that's what he's trying to do in you and what he's trying to do in me. And he is at work just like he was doing in this day, where we see Jesus going all over the place in Israel doing all sorts of things. He's doing that same thing today. And man, as he tries to mold you and perfect you and to make you what he would have you to be so that he can use you for the glory of God, he uses a lot of other things. I want you to know, too, that God is at work at cities and towns. He's at work in metropolitan areas, and he's at work in rural country areas. He's at work in different places, in different churches, and he's at work in different nations. He's working. And some of the ways that he does things to us and makes us what we want to be is he works through people. Amen. God has brought people into our lives, and he uses those people to help us, to grow us, and to make us what he wants us to be. Whether it be pastors of churches, or it be Sunday school teachers, or it be co-workers, or friends, or loved ones, or whoever it is, God is using people in your life to use them to impact you for the glory of God. You know, I always, we talked in Sunday school too about how we come in contact with people that I'll never know, and you do as well. But I think about all of us that are here today. And what all had to happen and all of the connections that were made for us to all be here today. And how some of you today could look across the church and say, I don't know much about them over there. I don't know why they're here or how they got here or whatever, but God is at work through people. You know, another bad thing about the way God works is God will work through problems. Amen. You know, I mean, who in here likes to have problems? I surely don't. I don't like when I have a problem. I like for everything to go smooth and good. And I don't like any bumps in the road. I don't like, I don't even like challenges. Amen. Just give me the easy way. That's what I would like. Well, God works through problems. We're going to have difficulties where God is going to bring us adversity. He's going to bring us challenges. He's going to bring us times. Guess what? Where we have to trust him by faith, where we can't see the answer. We can't see maybe the next turn. They just sang that song to stand still and wait on God. There's going to be those times where there's nothing we can do to fix it. We must wait on him. But God uses those times in our life to help us to be what he wants us to be. He'll also work through our passions and the pursuits and the things that we're doing. And so he does all that to mold us. And then it says this, it said, and Jesus departed from thence. So Jesus is on the move again. And it says, and he came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Now, so Jesus goes off into this mountain and sits down. And something that we see throughout Jesus' life is that he would oftentimes withdraw away to the side. We just talked about how busy and active he was, and he oftentimes would get away and he'd get by himself. And he got by himself for a couple reasons. Number one, he got by himself to rest. Now, if the Son of the living God needed to rest, I want to tell you something about you. You need to rest. And sometimes we think we can go and go and go and go and go, and we don't never need to take any time off, or we don't never need to rest. And I want you to know that it will come back to get you. Amen. If God created the earth and all that's in it in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, what he was doing was telling us that we need to implement that in our lives as well. And so today you might be here today and you might be tired and wore out and all these other things. And guess what you might need to do? You might need to draw aside and rest. And the other thing Jesus would draw aside for is this. He would draw aside to reconnect with the Father. Man, he'd get aside and pray to the Father to lead him where he needed to be, to stay in the Father's will. And if, again, I want to tell you, if the Son of God needed to withdraw to reconnect with the Father, do you think that we do too as well? Man, there's times where we get so busy that our relationship with God suffers. Where we're not in the Word like we should. We haven't been praying like we should. We haven't been repenting of our sins like we should. We haven't been doing the things that we should. I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you haven't been doing the things that you should, I want you to know that you are not alone in the fact that we all go through those times. We all go through the times where we are not where we should be, and we need to reconnect. And so today, you might need to draw aside and say, I need to spend some time with God alone. I need to spend some time resting and refocusing my efforts and my relationship with God. And so Jesus did that. And when Jesus did that, guess what people did? People found out where he was, and they went to him. And what we've got to do is go to him as well. Amen? You know where he is. Have y'all ever heard somebody say, if you feel like God's not close to you, he hasn't moved. Amen? Well, we know where he is, and we know what to do, and what we have to do is go to Jesus and attach ourselves to him. We must seek after him. He wants us to come after him. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and they would seek him out, and he wants us to come to him, and here's why. And this is what we're going to look at today. Because Jesus wants to change you. He wants to change you. You say, Brother Derek, I didn't think I needed any changing. Well, you need some changing today, amen? God wants to change you, and he wants to change me. Y'all know we sing that song, Just As I Am, without one plea, you know? And I want you to know God wants you to come to him just as you are. But he don't want you to stay that way, amen? He wants to change you. So yes, come to Jesus just like you are. Broken and hurt and needy and a sinner and all these things. And then God wants to change you. Some of our problem is we don't think we need any changing. We talked about that a few weeks ago when we talked about hypocrites. Hypocrites are people that don't think they need no changing. And some of us think we're pretty good. We're pretty good men and women and everything's good. And man, we're happy with the way we are. The problem is that we need to change. And I hope today that everybody here would be willing to admit and say, Brother Derek, I need to do some changing in my life. I have not arrived. I still need to do some changing. And so Jesus wants to change us. And let's look at today in this passage some people he changed and some ways we need to be changed as well. It said in verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And so these people brought people to Jesus that needed help, that needed changing. The first group of people that we see is that he brought some people there that were lame. These people obviously could not walk, or they had a problem with walking. They had a problem with their feet or with their legs, and Jesus healed them so that they could get up and walk and go as though they were brand new. And the reality is today, folks, some of us here today need to change the way that we walk. We need to change the way we walk. Now, I don't mean in a physical sense that you need to change the way you walk. I think that'd be fine. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. There's some places where some of us go that we ought not go. Amen. You know what takes you there? Your legs take you there. And we need to change the way we go. We need to change the places where we go to. We also need to change who we go with. Amen. There's some of us that walk with people that we ought not walk with. There are people that don't bring nothing to your life but sin and sorrow and misery and heartache. And let me tell you, it'd be a good idea for you to not be around them anymore. It never fails. I know somebody that has a problem with alcohol real bad. Man, they have a problem with it and just can't get over it. But let me tell you, one of the big problems with them not being able to get over it, the people that they go with drink alcohol. And man, if I got a problem drinking alcohol, I probably ought not go around and walk with people and run around with people that all they want to do is drink alcohol. Do y'all think that's a wise move? I don't think it would be. Man, if you're here today and you got a problem with drugs, and man, you've used drugs, and if you're around it, and listen, I want to tell you something. There ain't no shame in saying today, if I'm around it, there ain't no telling what I'll do. There's no shame in that. But what you do need to do is have enough sense to say, I can't be around this. And I can't be around them because I know what they're going to be doing, and it's going to put a temptation on me that is too great for me to bear, and I can't be there. You need to change the people you're around. Hey, some of us hang around people that are just bad for us in general. Y'all know what? Y'all know if you hang around negative people, what you going to be? You're going to be a negative guy. You're going to be a negative woman. Man, if you hang around the people that all they do is gossip and run everybody else down, you know what you're going to do? You are who you hang around with. I heard someone say once, and I think it's true, it says you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And man, I believe that to be true. And so we need to guard against who we are walking with and who we are spending our time with every single day. Now, on the flip side of that, we need to be better at spending a whole lot more time walking with God. Amen. There was a time maybe when you didn't walk with Him, and there'd be a time today where maybe you do. But we need to, you know, when we talk about walking with God, it's about having a relationship with Him. And some of us need to change, and we need to have a better relationship with God. Some of us are married in here today, and man, if you never talk to your spouse or they never talk to you, some of you might say, well, hey, we'd welcome that, amen. But no, if you never talk to your spouse or they never talk to you, guess what? You're not going to have a very good relationship. And if you never talk to God or He never speaks to you, then you're not going to have a very good relationship with Him. Now, we're going to look tonight in the 28th Psalm, and guess what we see in the 28th Psalm? We see David talking about the importance and how vital it is that God would speak to him and that he would speak to God. And I want you to know that today, here in November of 2018 at Oak Grove Baptist Church, it is vital for you to speak to God, and it's vital that He speaks to you. And if you're not having that going on in your life, I want you to know you are treading on some dangerous ground and you are drifting away into a bad place. And so we need to change the way that we walk. I guarantee you today that if we were honest, nobody here today would say, you know what? My walk with God couldn't be any better. It's as good as it could be. I think we could all say, you know what? It could be a little better. It could be better. My relationship with God could be closer. And I could have a better walk with Him. And I could walk with Him closer and experience and understand the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ a little better. And so God wants to change you today, and He wants to change the way that you walk. I want you to know that changing the way that you walk is going to help all these other things that we're going to talk about today. The second thing we see is that He healed the blind. There were people there that just could not see, and He healed them and they could see. And I want you to know that there are blind people that are here today. Now, they're not blind in the sense that you're thinking, but they're blind. You know, lost people are blind. The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that are lost that they might not believe. And we can preach and preach and preach until we're blue in the face, but the only way that they're going to see is if God will shine the glorious light of the gospel in their eyes and they be able to see their need for salvation. They need to see that they are lost and in need of a Savior, because there are blind people all over the place. Man, some of you go to work and you work around lost people and you try to witness to them, and you say, you might come to me and say, Brother Derek, they just do not get it. They don't see. And the reason why they don't see is because they're blind. They're spiritually blind. And we need people to have their eyes open today. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about hypocrites. And the most dangerous thing about hypocrites is that they cannot see their hypocrisy. And we talked about hypocrites not being those of us that are trying to do good and do wrong. That's not a hypocrite. People trying to do good and doing wrong, that's not hypocrisy. What hypocrisy is trying to do good and doing wrong and saying you don't do no wrong. That's what a hypocrite is. And they're blind to their own hypocrisy. Would anybody be here today and be willing to admit that there are times when you and I can struggle to see our own sin and our own struggles and our own needs. We don't see it. Other people might tell you about it and you say, they are crazy. Amen? What do they see? What do they know? Well, they see something that you don't see. And so we can struggle with that. We need to ask God. You know, David in the Psalms always said, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Do you know why he said that? Because he knew that there were times he couldn't see it himself. That he couldn't see it himself. Sometimes, and listen, in your life, you're so close to your own life, but, you know, sometimes when people are so close to a situation, they can't see the reality of it. They can't see the truth of it. I work in school now, and sometimes parents, can y'all believe sometimes parents can't see that their kids have a problem? They can't see that they got a behavior issue. They can't see it. The reason why they can't see it is they're too close to it. I mean, they're too close to their kids. And so sometimes we're too close to ourselves to be able to see that we have a sin problem. Another thing we need to do with our sight is this. We need to see things, see this whole world and everything around us through a lens of faith. And what I mean by that through a gospel lens is this, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. I want you to know that everything that's going on around you and in your life, God is at work in. We don't see it that way. We see it as coincidences. We see it as things that just happen or whatever. But God is at work. You know, the other night we had that tornado come through. I told somebody the other day, I think because of the way our world is now, everything is just heightened. And I told them the weather people that, I said, they're just hyping up this danger. You know, there's this danger. I said, they're doing a good job because they got me scared, right? I said, man, they got tornadoes could hit tonight. And man, my phone woke me up, tornado warning and all this stuff. And I turned the TV on and saw where the tornado was at and all this. And but do y'all know that God was in work at all that? And I understand that people are now suffering because of it. There's people that lost things because of it. And God is at work in that. I get that we don't know all why. I mean, like, why? That tornado, God brought it out the sky right here. Hit whatever it hit, put it up. I don't know why He did that. I don't know why He does these things. But what we do need to know is God's doing it. And God is at work. And He will bring things together for good if we'll allow it. I mean, bad things happen to good people, but God is involved in every bit of it. And so we need to see things. How much do we look around our life and say, man, look at God at work everywhere? I told you earlier, He's busy. He's doing it all, and He's using it all for His glory. So we need God to change us to see things as Him at work. As opportunities for Him to get glory, opportunities for us to be able to minister and serve and to help people and all those other things. So look at things through a lens of faith. The third thing we see is that there were some people that were dumb. Now that just means that they could not speak and they had a problem with their speech. Now, I would say that if we have a problem with our speech today, the problem is really a heart problem. Because the Bible says this, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if you've got a problem with the things you say, it's really because you've got a problem in your heart. As it said before, what comes up in the bucket is coming out of the well. And whatever comes out of your mouth is coming out of your heart. And we need to guard against our heart. But let me ask you questions today about the way that you speak. Do you speak constantly negative? Are you critical? Are you mean? Do y'all know anybody that's mean? I know some mean people, amen. And they say mean things. And they speak mean stuff. And they are always critical, always negative, always criticizing. Listen, if that's you, you got a problem. You got a problem. And to be honest, probably you hate that about yourself and it needs to change. Let me ask you another question. Do you only speak on worldly things, or do you ever speak on spiritual things? Do you ever speak on spiritual things? Do you ever speak about God outside of this context? Do you ever speak about Him and His Word and His work and what He's doing in your life or whatever? And the reason why you might not is because you got a heart problem. You got a heart problem. If all we talk about is worldly things, well, guess what's in our heart? Just worldly things. Do y'all ever say something that you shouldn't say? Amen. You ever say something that you shouldn't say? Let's not be these people. Have you ever done this? I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. That's the worst type of people, when you say, I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to say it anyway. Right? Don't be that person. So we got a problem with what we speak, and God wants to change the way that we speak. We want to speak positive things. We want to speak spiritual things. We want to speak things in love and in grace and in mercy. We want to speak that in people's lives. You know, whoever said, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, is wrong. Amen? Words hurt. Words sting. And by the way, when they leave your mouth, you can't take them back. You said it, and it's over, and it's done. And people will remember what you said. People will remember what you said. You say, well, how can I change the way that I speak, Brother Derek? Well, you need to fill your heart with the things of God. You need to fill your heart with good thoughts. The Bible says if there be anything good or pure or right or holy, think on these things. Man, if those things are in my heart, guess what's going to come out of my mouth? Those things. And so I've got to fill myself up with God so that He'll come out of my mouth. If I fill myself up with worldliness, then what's going to come out of my mouth is worldliness. If I fill myself up with negativity, what's going to come out of my mouth is negative. And so fill yourself up with something good, and something good will come out of your mouth. God wants to change the way that we speak. And then lastly, we see that there were some people that were maimed. They were hurt. Something had happened to them. Hindered them, whether it be their arm or hand or leg or foot or whatever. Something had happened to them, and they had become injured and maimed. Now let me ask you a question. There's some people here today, and we might not never know it, but there's people here today that are hurt. They are hurt. Their parents hurt them. Maybe a neighbor hurt them. Maybe they got hurt at church. A spouse hurt them. There's people here that are hurt. Someone did something. Let me ask you, who hurt you? Or are you hurt in any way? And you know what happens when we get hurt? Just like these people that got hurt and got maimed, when we get hurt, it hinders us. It hinders us. There's people I know little kids that are 8, 9, 10 years old. And you know what? They can't love on nobody. You know why? Because they got hurt. And they have a hard time loving. These people that have a hard time with relationships. You ever met somebody that's hard to get close to? I mean, they won't let you get close to them. They just won't. You know why that is? Because they've been hurt somewhere along the line. I remember I was out visiting one time, out knocking on doors, and I met a lady, and man, she just was so nice and everything. And I said, man, well, I'd love to have you come to church with us. She said, I'm never going to go to church again. I said, what in the world? And she said, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to be at church every time the door was open. She said, but I got hurt at church, and I ain't going to go back. That's a reality to a lot of people. They got hurt at church. Somebody hurt their feelings, or somebody betrayed them, or somebody did whatever the case may be. When people get hurt, it affects them. And so what we need to do is ask God to help us. I want you to know something, that God wants to change you. And the good thing is, there's some of us here today that want to change. We want to do better. And we want to grow. And I want to walk different. And I want to talk different. And I don't want to be hurt. I want to forgive those that hurt me, and I want to move on. You know, in our reading this week, Over there in Proverbs 14, it talked about some attitudes and stuff that we have can be a rottenness in our bones. And I don't want that in me. I don't want all that. And so God wants to change us. I want to change the way I see things. I want to see things in a positive way. Can I tell y'all a little secret about Brother Derek? I can see things in a lot of negative ways. I can look at something and tell you what's wrong with it, right? I can tell you why it won't work. I can tell you that it's not real. I can look at things in a terrible. I don't want to do that. I want God to change me. And I hope you want God to change you as well. You say, well, how can we get changed? You got to get to Jesus' feet like these people did. You got to get to the feet of Jesus. You got to get close enough to Him where He can touch you. And by the way, this change that's going to take place in our life is going to take place over the course of our life. It ain't in one way, when we get saved, we're changed forever and we're changed in an instant. But in another way, we got to change every day. You know, in another one of our readings this week, by the way, if you're not reading your Bible, why don't you pick up a calendar on your way out the door, and we give you somewhere to read every day. Now, if you're already reading, we're thankful for that. But if you're not, you say, I don't know where to start. This is where you can start. Another place in our readings this week, you know what it said in Ephesians? The Apostle Paul said that he had to put off the old man, and he had to put on the new man. You know what I got to do every day? I got to put off old Derek. Some of y'all didn't know old Derek, but he's still here. I got to put him off all the time. I got some things about me that's just always going to be, and I got to put on the new me. Some of y'all got the old man too, amen? The old you, some of us didn't know. And we got, so it's a lifetime change. But here's what you need to do. The good news today is this, that Jesus wants to change you. It's amazing to me that He cares about me. It's amazing to me that He would want to have anything to do with me, but He wants to change me. And He wants to change you. The question today is, do you want to change? Do you want to change? Do you want to keep growing? Or are you satisfied with where you are? If you do not want to change, then you will not change. I was talking to somebody a while back about their church, and they were just not happy with what was going on, but nothing was going to change. And I told him, I said, if things don't change, then things don't change. And that'd be the way with you. If you want to change, get at Jesus' feet today and every day and say, God, help me to walk different, to speak different, to think differently, to see differently, and to forgive those that have hurt me, so I can move on for the glory of God. Amen. Won't you stand with us today? We're going to have a time of invitation, a time where you can come and begin now. You can do it right where you are. You can sit there and say, God, I want to change. I want to be different. I want to grow. I want to change the way I am. And God will begin to help you.